Hey, everybody. My name is Damara West, founder of Be Well, Beautiful Woman, where we help women to center their healing and liberation so that they can lead and live lives on their own terms. I'm so excited to welcome you into the Women Who Write to Liberate Summit, which is comprised of female writers and those that support the craft of writing to inspire women just like you to find their authentic voice and use it in ways they feel most inspired to, including writing their first or the book that follows that first book. But it's so much bigger than launching that first book, right? It is about using our authentic voice in a way that helps us to curate the life that we want. I say often that our voice is our biggest manifestation flex. And so whether you want to write a book or not, this session is going to feed you, I promise you. And the guest that I have in the lineup today is amazing. I have Nokomi Higgins, author of Purposeful Perspectives, Empowering Black Women Toward Spiritual Alignment, Self-Mastery, and Joy. As a licensed psychotherapist, speaker, and best-selling author, Nokomi passionately exists to empower women a vision with the tools to inspire and lead others through curiosity and self-compassion. She believes that when individuals boldly and bravely choose to lead themselves in this manner, they unconsciously accept a divine invitation to evolve confidently into their most authentic level of leadership impact and influence, allowing one to move differently, to innovate differently, and to give and receive love differently. Nokomi, I am so glad that you are in the house.
Here. Thank you for having me. We're about to get into it.
We're about to get into it, sis. I'm so excited about this conversation. All right. So the first thing that we're going to explore is just about when you knew that you were supposed to write Purposeful Perspectives, Empowering Black Women Towards Spiritual Alignment, Self-Mastery, and Joy. So how did you first know that this was the book to deliver to the world?
So I'm going to first start by saying I didn't, and then I'm going to rewind. So I had been, you know, I had always wanted to write a book, but the story was never there. And so I didn't really feel pressed. But I had a girlfriend where every time we would go out to eat, she would record something or write something down and then text me and say, this is for your next book. And so I began to really think about what that would look like for me. And again, I kind of, all right. And in December of 2019, it hit me. I was going to write this book that really spoke to the presence of fear in women in business. And I had sat down and I started writing and I hit a wall immediately. And it took me some time. We actually transitioned very much into 2020. And I was still, I'm going to write this book. This is the book that I'm going to write. I know it. And the book actually began to reveal itself to me. And so while I did sit down and I started to write a book, the book that women can tap into and enjoy today was not the book that I actually set out to write. And I tell people that, and it was really a very challenging and yet beautiful journey of self-discovery. And so that's kind of the story behind Purposeful Perspectives.
Yeah. And you know, Nokomi, what I appreciate about what you're sharing with us is that this is oftentimes the theme that shows up within this summit, right? That the story that we felt compelled to tell was not the story that we were supposed to birth in this at this juncture. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that that story that came into your spirit is not a book that you will share with the world later, right?
Yes.
Or writing or speaking and whatever's calling you, right?
Yes.
But I think it's so important that we show up with a sense of curiosity and, and play, which allows us to detach from any kind of perspective we may have had about what we should be doing.
Yes.
So that we can do the very thing that we spiritually should be doing. And that sometimes is not in alignment.
It's not, right? And I think one of the things, again, that I learned in that, that I was introduced to myself, the version of myself that I was to begin nurturing. over time, right? And I was also shedding a lot in that book. I mean, when you're writing, you are coming into contact with your beliefs.
Yes.
You are sharing your story. And so it was just, it was a very challenging experience, but it is one that I'm very thankful for because again, it revealed me to the version of myself that I was to begin cultivating and getting to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh guys, that's such a beautiful story. So the next thing that I want to know about is, you know, you're a licensed psychotherapist, and I imagine that that has shaped your work. So talk to us about the way in which being in that psychotherapy space has helped to provide this foundation as a writer, as a speaker, in all the ways in which you're serving the world.
So I like to say that my presence in this world is that of an experiential teacher, right? And so not only do I infuse my own aha moments, my own transformation, but being in this work of psychotherapy is allowing you to really narrow the gap. And what I mean by that is a lot of times we think we are on an island experiencing these things on our own. Mm-hmm. And psychotherapy has been an opportunity not only for me to hold space for other women to share their stories and to work through the difficulties of them. It's been a amazing space for me to craft language and to teach language. And naturally that comes through in how I speak and also how I write. And so I am not only crafting and sharing language, but I'm doing so with respect to real life experiences. This isn't myth. This ain't theory. This is life, and it's happening on a personal level and also on their level as well. So that's really been helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And particularly for people who are listening, and that oftentimes we feel like we have to pick a lane, right? And the reality is that, you know, folks like you who are on the lineup, folks like me, folks that we look to and that are our inspiration are oftentimes in, they've crafted their own world that based on this intersectionalism, right? They've taken, they've piecemealed it to make it work for them. And so that's what I love about this, right? That yes, you know, part of your identity is certainly as a psychotherapist and, you know, trained as a psychotherapist will always be that.
Yes.
And you're a lot more than that, right? Yes. And this book, of course, is one of the testimonies of the fact that you are more than just a psychotherapist. Not that we're just anything, right?
Yeah. And I think too, you know, when I say I work with women of vision, there are complex layers to us. And I think as women giving ourselves permission to be complex human beings that are multi-layered and multi-passionate, and knowing that when we really say yes to the fullness and the bigness of who we are, those things will find a way to work with themselves, right? And a lot of people, when they hear me speak, they're like, oh my God, you sound like a minister. A lot of people who hear me, you know, when one of my clients are working with me, they're like, oh my God, you're so fun and you're such a great actor. And so there's a lot of different things that come through. And I think giving yourself permission to be curious about who you get to become when you say yes is really, really liberating, you know, in its own way.
It's so powerful what you said, to get curious about who you could become. In Pam Grout's book, E-Squared, that was her first book, her follow-up book was E-Cubed. And she said, I only have two responsibilities in life, to be curious and to ask more questions. That's and, awesome. You know, a lot of times we make liberation, this healing journey, this wellness journey, much more complicated than what it
actually
And in all reality, it's actually very simple. And not that facing ourselves, right? Facing ourselves is difficult. But when we continue to show up and face ourselves, it allows us to rise. And as we rise, we have these simple ways that we can stay in the midst of that rise.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Right. I guess we can just drop the mic and go home now.
But we
got to talk about.
We're done.
Okay. We have solved all of life's problems, Nokomi. All right. So the next thing that I want to talk about is what does it mean to be spiritually aligned, to have self-mastery and joy? And why is this so critical to our liberation?
Yes, I love that question. And one of the things that I always empower my clients to do is really own language, right? Own what these things mean to them. And so I always start off by saying, in order to be spiritually aligned, we have to give ourselves permission to really ask, what does spirituality look like for me? Mm-hmm. How do I want spirituality to anchor me? How does spirituality show up in my business, in my writing, in how I show up? And what is that relationship that I am fostering? Because it looks different for everyone. And in my book, I talk about how, while I don't subscribe to a particular religion, my spirituality is my sustenance, right? It is my foundation. And I had to allow myself to get comfortable with that. And then I had to ask myself, given that this is what it means to me, it is my sustenance, it is my light, it is my mission to walk this earth teaching and empowering others to tap into their own divine being, how am I making decisions that align with that meaning? How am I building things in my life that align with what that means to me? How am I engaging in loving relationships? How am I pulling out of relationships in a way that aligns with what spirituality means to me? And so it really starts with us giving ourselves permission to sit down and ask, what does it mean to me? Mm-hmm. And how do I embody that, right? Mm. And when we're looking at self-mastery, that goes back to self-trust. I think we use this word of confidence a lot because it's big and everyone can gravitate towards it. But what people are essentially saying they want when they say, I want to be more confident, is I want to trust myself. I want to trust myself to make decisions. I want to trust myself to intuitively know how to move in situations. I want to trust myself. And so mastery is about building routines and practices that allow us to cultivate self-trust.
Yeah.
And the end result, is joy. And yeah. I chose that word joy versus happiness because there is a part of joy that just feels to me spiritual, and it feels more rooted in pleasure, yeah. more rooted in the ability to look at what you have gone, you know, grown through and say, I did that.
Yes. Did that. Well, and you know, what struck me about what you just shared is that joy is really about embodiment. Mm-hmm. It's really about our essence.
Yes.
And, you know, we can have these moments of happiness, yes. but a lot of times they're short-lived. It's not yes. sustainable. And that inner world that you just talked about is so critical to our evolution. And I know so many women that feel like if they have wellness practices and they're checking these things off, that they are well. But well-being comes from within.
It does.
And if we're yeah. externalizing our sustenance, and I love that word, I love it, then we are really missing the mark, right?
Yeah.
We're missing the ways in which we're called to evolve, called to be within, you know, our highest self.
Yes.
And just this invitation around what you shared regarding what do I want? That's authenticity, mm-hmm. right? And I like how you broke down that when people say, you know, I want to be more courageous, this is about trust. There's a quote that says, when I learn to trust myself, I know how to live. That's the blueprint, right?
Yes, that's it.
Yes. And which defies oftentimes all of the messaging that we've received about what it means to be something, whatever that is. Yeah.
There you go. And when you ask this question of why is it so critical to our liberation, I think we live in, I know we live in a time in which it is so easy for us to look outward. For guidance. It's so easy for us to look outside of ourselves for the answers, mm-hmm. for the tips, for the hacks. And what I like to say to a lot of my clients is I don't teach hacks. I teach solutions, but in order for these solutions to work, they have to be worked. They yes. have to be embodied. They have to be practiced. And so when we're talking about liberation when we're developing that self-trust, that inner knowing, especially as women. Mm-hmm. Because I think that our impaired self-trust correlates to our impaired intuitive knowing, mm-hmm. right? Because we are learning how to develop that through our healing work. When we understand how to trust ourselves, we're no longer tied to, or I don't even want to say necessarily no longer tied to, but we're not dependent upon the directions and the opinions of the outside world to govern us, right? And yes. That's what I really want to highlight that when it comes to liberation.
Yeah. That's really powerful. And I love what you said. I don't teach hacks.
I don't do it.
And that's really, really keen because so many of us are looking for the quick fix. And when we're talking about liberation, there is no quick fix. There's only the getting there is going through. Getting there is showing up. Getting there is continuing to keep it at the forefront because, you know, even gurus fall, right? Without practice, all of us will fall.
Yes. Well, that's it. I think what people have to understand is we can get there. The true work is in sustaining it.
Yes.
It's always going to be in our ability to sustain mm-hmm. because one minute I am operating in my higher self and the next minute I'm completely in the world and I'm struggling and I need to understand how I can use the tools that I have cultivated to get me back into that state of being that feels aligned and true. So yeah. The real work is in, I don't even want to say the real work, but the work that we have to adapt to is our ability to sustain the changes that we need, because this is a long-term thing.
Listen, it's lifelong. If you are breathing, if you want to be liberated, then all there is practice. That's it. And so thank you for saying that. So now I want to explore with you what gets in the way, right? You've worked with tons of women. And I'm sure you've seen some of the major, you know, major trends, right? And many of us are encountering the same kinds of barriers. So what gets in the way and how can we actively remove those barriers?
So again, I'll say, I'm going to start with, again, that lack of self-trust or impaired self-trust has a way of manifesting in people pleasing. It has a way of manifesting in high perfectionism. It has a way in manifesting in imposter syndrome, right? So when I'm going to talk about these issues, I'm going to talk about the roots and how they manifest. And they can manifest in different ways. But I also see a fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. I think that is common across the board. I think that we are existing in a time where belonging and feeling seen and heard is really important. And it's always been important to human beings, but even more so now. And so people are finding ways to be seen and heard. But there are also, I think, amazing women who are struggling with really embodying their unique selves and their voices out of fear of who will it offend? Who might I inconvenience? What might I disrupt when I step into me? And so I would say that lack of self-trust and that fear of rejection, when together, it manifests in all sorts of behaviors and attitudes and beliefs. It also can impair our ability to really heal in a way that feels complete for us, right? So some of this lack of self-trust, this fear of rejection stems from trauma. Yeah. It stems from unhealthy relationships. It stems from unhealthy interactions with hurt people. So we're not shaming that, right? We're honoring that there is a source to these experiences. But again, when we are more concerned about how others will receive and digest us, sometimes, actually more often than not, we deny ourselves the opportunity to really heal in a way that feels full for us, fully invested for us and complete and resolved, because again, what are they going to think? What does this mean? What does this look like? And where do I go with this? So those are the more common themes that I've seen. I've even seen lack of self-trust and fear of rejection turn into a hyper self-expression, right? I got to share all the ideas and I got to be in all the conversations and I really got to prove myself. And so again, when I'm talking about spiritual alignment, self-mastery, and joy, I'm really talking about the tools to address those challenges.
Yeah. So I want to lean into this a little bit. There's so much that I want to say about what you just imparted to us. And, you know, this conference, right, it's all about us tapping into our authentic voice, and you just named it. Sometimes just because we're speaking, it doesn't mean that we're really using our voice in the most aligned ways possible. And so sometimes we are underutilizing our voice because we've been silenced. Sometimes we are overutilizing our voice also because we've been silent. Yes. And so this is so important because, you know, we may think that certain things show up in a certain package, but like overstimulation or understimulation is not really in service of us. No. And so I say often that even this idea of vulnerability is not just sharing. It's the moment that you're sharing that's shaking you to your core. It's the moment that you're sharing where you don't know how this is going to land with people.
Yes.
Vulnerability, right? Yes. And so I love that you're inviting us in to think about the ways in which we are illuminating ourselves more simply to prove something, or mm-hmm. we're quieting ourselves also to try to prove something.
Yes.
And, you know, you said earlier that, like, what will this change? Well, as we liberate, everything will change.
Everything.
And so, you know, and I'm sure you've asked your clients this often, what will it cost you? If mm-hmm. you don't do this work, can you live? Can you continue to live in this space? And oftentimes the risk of living in this space mm-hmm. is, you know, it's minimal to the risk of stepping in. It's scary, right? It's scary.
It's scary.
And yet if we don't do it, in what way are we harming ourselves?
There you go.
Everybody else is good. We're taking care of everybody else. We don't want to have conflict. We don't want to ruffle too many feathers. We don't, and which prevents us also not just aligning with self, but also being in solidarity with other people who need us to be in concert with them, who need our voice, who need our partnership in spaces. And so this is really, really powerful what you're sharing with us to reflect on when it comes to, I mean, your book's framework, right? That's in part why you wrote the book, right?
I mean, in my book, I'm talking about everything that you just said. I mean, I share in my book how a lot of what I have achieved in my life has been running away from this fear of being rejected, this fear of not being relevant. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand that my fear of being irrelevant was driving my depression. It was driving this need to prove my value to the world. And I arrived at a place where I said, I don't want to be successful out of fear anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be successful and achieve in order to prove my worth and my value anymore. So what can life look like? Curiosity. Mm-hmm. What can life look like if I stop running from and running towards who I get to become? Mm-hmm. And in that book, I talk about what transformational change feels like, because the reality is, and I am a strong believer in this, when you are operating in an incongruent self, showing up one way, feeling another, doing other things, the universe is going to call you to the carpet. Many, 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 many times. You've been called to the carpet a whole lot of times. You may not have known that is what it was, but it's been edging you to this point of, how much longer are we going to keep doing this your way? And so if you have been going through it, y'all, if you have been in storm after storm after storm, understand that is the universe saying you are operating in incongruence. Things have to change if you want peace. It's an invitation. But we don't experience it as an invitation. So I talk about this in the book and how to step into this invitation and then continue to move through these stages of transformation in a way that makes sense to you. I ain't saying it's easy. It'll just make more sense.
You know, and before we get into our next exploration, I think what you said is so important, because a lot of times when we think about the co-creation process and we think about our desires, we think about it from the standpoint of being conscious. But really what just occurred to me is that part of this is about aligning with our birthright.
There you go.
And so we don't even have to have a conscious desire to change. And yet the universe, source, God is always working in an individualized way to get us to see that change is possible for us.
There you go.
So that we can get to the highest emotions, right? Like you said, joy, peace, gratitude, self-empowerment. That's how we are supposed to be. Yes. And so long before the world tainted us, that's how we engage with the world, right?
That's how we engage with the world, through curiosity and self-compassion. If you take nothing from this, your roadmap, how can I be curious? How can I be more kind to myself, not just others? How can I be more kind to myself? Trust me when I say, God, source, universe, whatever you know your higher power to be, will reveal itself to you when you commit to leaning in through curiosity and self-compassion.
You just said a word. All right. So as we, there's a couple more things that I want to explore with you before we wrap up. So talk to us about what kinds of magic has unfolded for women as a result of this framework that you have so eloquently described in your book.
So a lot of my clients laugh because they're like, listen, if you work with Nikki, you're going to work. You're going to work. But what they have gone on to do is start the business. They have gone on to write their own business, their own books. More of them have reported that increased self-confidence to pivot in their careers or to introduce the new business. But more importantly, I have had clients come to me and thank me for holding a space for them to explore what spirituality means for them outside of their norms. And they have experienced a great deal of growth. And there have been clients who have reported just being thankful for the language now to speak to their experience in a way that feels empowering. So there are the more emotional and spiritual shifts that people have experienced. And then there are the tangible, I went on and I did this and that. And a lot of people have reported a great deal of ahas just reading the book and saying, oh my goodness, why is this woman like in my house right now looking at me and reading me? But I always say I am just a vessel, and it is through my own journey and through my vulnerability and curiosity that I am able to be used in that way. And so I do sincerely hope that it's been helpful.
Yes, yes. Well, and you know, what's really interesting about what you said is that when people read your book and say, oh my God, like, how does she know? Right. I think what's really keen about this, and I want the listeners to hear this, that as they show up in the world more fully, as they use their voice in the ways that they feel most compelled to, that as they speak, as they write, people are going to reflect back the same thing. Oh my God, how did you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because we are called, we have assignments, and people are waiting. We cultivate light first for us, and then we cultivate light for others. And so for anyone who's afraid and says, well, God, you know, little old me. Well, first of all, there is no little old me, right? There's just you. And there is a brilliant you. And even though, you know, none of us is special, we are all special at the same time, because we're a part of the creation. So I love that you just pointed that out, because I think that all of us, and when we have an abundant mindset, what we know to be true is that there's enough out there and that my people are waiting
to
receive my message.
Oh, yes. And I think just also people understanding you are serving in a collective. I work with a lot of my leaders to understand you are not the only one out here changing lives and making an impact. And when you can accept that you are not the only one and you are actually serving in a collective, then you can show up and do your part the way it's supposed to and not be worried about everybody else's.
Yes, this is so true. Oh my gosh. So I can't believe that we have nearly come to the end, right? This always happens. I say we always have a beginning and we always have an end, right? So the last thing that I just want to talk with you about before we chime in and let folks know how they can stay in touch with you, purchase your book. I want to know, you know, as we both understand liberation, it really is about the full integration of the mind, body, and soul. And so tell us about how you stay liberated in the midst of working so tenaciously to liberate others.
In all honesty, it is truly my spirituality and the relationship that I am cultivating with who I identify as the source of all things. I tell people all the time that depression entered into my life at a very young age. And every now and then in the midst of my transitions to my next levels, it likes to show out, to show up and show out. And I also exist in spaces where I'm standing in front of hundreds of people or one person, and they are looking at me to hear what I have to say, but they're also looking at me to pick it apart. And so I have really learned, and I'm continuing, y'all. I want to emphasize that it is an everyday commitment. I rededicate myself to spirit and to lead and be an extension of spirit's leadership. Every single day I have to rededicate myself because it is my sustenance, but it is my guidance. It is my light. You will move. Look, and I'm getting so hyped up by this question. Let me pause.
No, please get high. We like to get high.
Listen, and this goes to the point, when you start saying yes to yourself, you are going to move in ways that you didn't even know you can move. You are going to show up in spaces that you didn't even know you had called into your life. And you start to arrive in spaces that you are unfamiliar with. It is important that you are cultivating that spiritual connection, because trust me when I say, I got business partners and I got friends, but my number one business partner is constantly allowing me to move in these spaces in a way that allows me to be in tune with myself. I know when I'm out of alignment. And so that's my spiritual connection is really my source of life and food.
Yeah. That resonates with me so deeply, and that rededication is really in connection to the journey, right? Mm-hmm. And that because we're journeying, we never actually arrive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also suffer from depression, and I'm going to say suffer because when it does illuminate itself, it has ability to cause me to cause me immense pain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm working on my first book, Me Too, A Therapist's Journey to Heal from Complex Trauma. Mm-hmm. And the manifestation of my trauma in part is my depression, mm-hmm. along with a myriad of other things that I continue to have to face. And as you said, rededicate myself to. So that I can be my highest self for me first, and then for all of the people that I know for certain I'm being called to serve. Yes. So thank you for your transparency in that, because, you know, there's this idea, particularly within the therapy realm, you know, and I'm a fellow therapist right? In the therapy realm, where, you know, people think that we don't have issues. People see us as hyperhuman. People, it's like, please don't put me on that pedestal. Please.
I don't want it.
Take that. Maybe you'll come back, but if you don't, just take that shit with you. Right. And so I appreciate, you know, hearing from another therapist, the reality in terms of what we struggle with and how we have to continue to do our work so that we can continue to curate the work for other people.
Yes.
Nakomi, I cannot believe it. We are done for now.
I know.
My grandmother always says it's just farewell. It's not goodbye. So that's what we're going to say. Farewell. So as we farewell and end this interview, tell folks how they can stay in touch with you, how they can follow you, how they can purchase your book.
So they can purchase my book specifically on Amazon, the book in the card deck on Etsy, Purposeful Perspectives. They can visit me on Instagram under my name, Nokomi Higgins _LMFT. And then also I launched a YouTube channel titled Purposeful Perspectives, and they are welcome to follow me there. So know that I move and I groove as spirit calls me to. And so I hope that whatever I share is filling for them.
Yeah. Well, I know for certain it will be, because this was a fire filled interview. And I appreciate it, my sister. So
you are welcome.
Yeah. So thank you for just showing up in the world, for sharing your written word with us, and all the other ways that you use your voice to liberate us all. You heard it here at the Global Women Who Write to Liberate Summit. So glad that you joined us for this interview. And my hope is that you caught the other 18 interviews that are going to help to support you in your liberation journey, whether you want to write that first, that second, whatever book. But as we said before, it is so much bigger than that. This is about you anchoring into your truth so that you can live your most optimal life. Until next time, beauties. Ashe.
Ashe, ashe. Woo! Hold on, I got to take a